Welcome to Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 29 years. We've had a really fun broadcast today. We're halfway through at our 7 o'clock hour. We were joined by Mr. Brent Smith, who has worked on Whiskey Row in Prescott, Arizona for 46 years and just retired. Jennifer's in studio in the 8 o'clock outdoor living hour. She had Greg Peterson with special guest Kari Spencer talking about preserving the peach harvest. 9 o'clock hour, this is your hour, Arizona homeowners. Anything and everything you want to talk about, your house, home, castle, or cabin, this is your hour. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text questions to 411-923, or you can email info@rosieonthehouse.com. If you have a picture you'd like to share or a video that you need to help you describe the situation to us, it's info@rosieonthehouse.com. We've got a lot of great things to cover today for the National Hardware Show, but before we get there, we need to acknowledge Memorial Day, and Jennifer's put together a little something special for us.
Well, Memorial Day has become just a day for a picnic and a family gathering, and those things are so very expensive, important, but we need to realize that we have that right and that privilege because of the people who've fought on our behalf for our country. And so Memorial Day, it should take our breath away. It should be more than a picnic. We should take the time to stop and think and reflect. And, it was originally was instituted as Decoration Day, and it was a day to honor the Civil War heroes who had fallen, all the soldiers on the Union side. And they had noticed how the Southern people honored their dead and their soldiers, so they were kind of inspired by that, and they started it. And as we know it, 1971, it was established as the last Monday in May, and it's kind of a jump start to the summer, school's ending, picnics, families, and everything. But, there's a million stories. We mentioned last week that Rosie and I had been to the New Orleans World War II Museum, and it just is very somber, kind of makes you stop and think. We get so busy in our daily lives, and in the digital age, we're just so overwhelmed with information. So it's important to stop back and think about what information is really important. There's a picture that came out in 1943 in Life magazine, and it was a picture of three dead GIs, and it was the first time we'd ever published pictures of our own soldiers who had perished. And it was kind of controversial, but FDR felt like people had forgotten the cost that we were paying for this. So it was a picture taken in Buna, Papua New Guinea, in the Pacific Theater of the War, and we were trying to regain, trying to push the Japanese back. So anyway, it was a picture of these soldiers. There was no names ever included or anything, but just somber, just stop and remember, stop and think. Be sure if you have kids, grandkids, take a few minutes, maybe take a few minutes of silence, and just remember. So happy Memorial Day to everyone.
Happy Memorial Day. And the city of Prescott puts on a nice Flip and Art Museum Memorial Day showcase, and they've got all downtown and banners and red, white, and blue, and they do a great job just putting that those decorations out as a good reminder. It's Memorial Day, so thank you for all of those that,
went before.
We're here because they couldn't be. Yeah.
I saw one quick.
One
quick little thing I read. I didn't realize this. The tradition is that you would fly your flag at half mast till noon today, or on Monday. So
okay.
I haven't noticed that, but at least get your flag up and get it out there for Memorial Day. Fly your flag. Fly it proud.
And half mask until noon on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. And it is Memorial Day, one of those weekends we remember to fertilize our citrus. If you have your citrus trees out and you haven't got them fertilized yet, go ahead and do that. You can learn more about how to do that properly at the archives of rosieonthehouse.com. With Mr. Jay Harper, we cover it quite frequently. But the National Hardware Show, man, what a great experience that always is. And we come away and it just takes us weeks. We have a blog that we started posting all this information to, and I mean, we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of what we've came back with. And one of the hard things that's actually kind of that makes it a lot of fun and enjoyable is some of these products that are great, they're just in concept. They're looking for somebody to fund them. They're looking to get pre-orders done so they can get the production moving. And obviously we want to share those great things, but we also don't want to put together a bunch of stuff that, hey, wouldn't this be great? You just can't get it yet. So what was we've all put together. I went, Jennifer went, Julia came down from Minneapolis, and she was there, and we all put together our top choices of what if we had things that we left the National Hardware Show with, what those three items would be. Mom, you want to start off with your top three?
Well, I have quite a few, Romy, and I was looking at my top three, and I realized they kind of all are related. My favorite thing of the whole hardware show was the Briggs & Stratton new power washer. It's PSI 2000, and it's runs about $200, and it'd be great for Father's Day or just to have for yourself. But I have gotten to where I just love power washing my porch and getting ready for to eat outside and to kind of move to living outside during the summer here. And so that was my first thing. My second is, my second two actually are all about fun. The hardware show isn't just tools. It's also a lot of backyard living stuff. One is the Orion coolers, made in America. One of the, you know, the new style of coolers that are so popular with the four-sided walls, thick, and last forever. That's really a hardy cooler and good looking. Lots of cool designs that you can get on that one.
And I can't wait until that one hits the market because it is American made. I lost my cooler on the way up to Prescott. Actually, I was leaving Chino Valley and I didn't realize the tailgate was down and the cooler slid out the back and pff, yard sale.
That's how we lost our last one too.
Capri Suns and Gatorades and
litter the road.
So I went in to buy a cooler. They've got the nice, big, heavy Yetis right there that, you know, they're going to keep it cool forever. You only need a bag of ice. And they were $300 made in China. And right next to it for the same size, it wasn't the thick wall, but it didn't matter. It was an igloo, and it was made in America. So as soon as that Orwin becomes available, because they don't have a distributor in Arizona right now. They're working to get out west. They're in the, well, I think Oklahoma.
And I think he said September-ish they'd be available.
Yeah. So I am holding out.
Well, it's a little bit more expensive, but it's worth it because it's American-made, and you can get all kinds of cool features and things that you can hook on, you know, hold to do different functions. So that was really a cool one. And my last one also is about having fun, and it's from Gopher Sport. It's the spike ball. And there were some kids playing it out in the tailgate area. And Carol, in college, this is the new game on campus. It's spike ball. It just takes a little bit of room. It's a little round. It looks like one of those mini trampolines, and it comes with these little foam balls, and it's kind of like volleyball in a circle. Kind of hard to explain, but you can Google it and see it. But it's for $60, you can have a really nice new game. We love new things to play in the yard, and when kids all come over, it's just a blast. It's a good workout, too.
Spike ball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to play right now an interview we happen to be able to grab. One of the, if you've ever bought a hammer in your life at any hardware store, you've probably seen the all-metal frame, blue handle or leather handle S-string. Those are American-made, been making them here in America since Mr. S-string in 1923, and we were able to grab their director while I was walking through the hardware show for a little interview we're going to play for you here. We're stopped now in the S-Wing booth here at the National Hardware Show in Las Vegas. You may not necessarily know the name S-Wing, but if you've ever walked by the hammer section at any hardware store, you know the product. All metal, blue-handled grip, and, of course, our favorite thing, it's American-made. I've stopped in, and I've got Stephanie Thrasher to tell us a little bit more about the S-Wing story.
We're a family-owned company. We've been in Rockford, Illinois since 1923. All of our hammers and axes are one-piece forgings made with American steel. We love contractors, and that's what we're in the business to sell hammers and make hammers for everybody.
When I broke into the trades right out of high school, my first hammer was a 22-ounce S-Wing framing hammer. And the hammer I use today is that same one I bought almost 18 years ago.
Products made for life, definitely.
And since that time, looking at the booth display here, y'all have expanded a few lines. I have seen the axes before. I keep one of these in the back of my truck. But you've got you've broken into some tomahawks, some knives. Your product line has really expanded. I've even seen some pneumatic nailers over there.
We do have some licensed products as well, which are our nail guns and some gloves. We're working on expanding our sporting goods line. We've got a machete, a hunter's axe. We also have a breaching bar for fire service and police and tactical teams. We do a little bit of tomahawks for the military and customize the tomahawk for them with the sand color to match their fatigues.
Your new catalog just came out. Y'all have a brand new hammer.
Yes, we have an aluminum hammer. It's lightweight. It's lighter than titanium. It's got a steel claw and a steel face, and it has a canister inside with steel shot, so it's also a dead blow. And it's available for about half the price of a titanium hammer.
What's a dead blow?
Dead blow is when you swing, there's no recoil. It will just actually offer a dead blow as it sounds.
So can you sink an 18-penny in one swing, Stephanie?
No, I don't think so. I haven't tried. But I have swung my share of our hammers in our quality control lab.
Now, y'all also have, on that new hammer, I've seen it on other ones, it's a magnet and it holds the nail. So especially if you're trying to work overhead or the top of a sheet of drywall or even hang pictures in a high place, this magnet will hold the nail for the first strike.
It's called a magnetic nail starter. And you just simply put the nail in and swing, and you can do it even if it looks like it's impossible to do. It really works.
From start to finish, how long does it take your traditional hammer to get off the assembly line?
We start with a 6-inch billet of steel, and it goes through the factory, and it takes about a week to get through all of the processes.
Where is the steel milled out of?
It's in Nebraska. It's a company called Nucor.
Looking at all the different lines, we've got concrete hammers over here. What is this pickaxe-looking thing?
That's a paleo pick. We do have a niche with the geological world and paleontologists. They prefer our rock picks because they're durable, and when they take them to the outcrops and they're, you know, miles and miles away from civilization digging up a dinosaur, they don't want their hammer to break out in the field, so they prefer our picks, and we design them to their specs to help them in the field.
Industry proven across multiple different trades and American made.
Yes.
That was Stephanie from Estwing Corporation, and we've got something special we're working together with them on. We'll have more details here shortly. If you've got a question, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. But if you've got something that's tearing up your yard, whether it's a rabbit or skunks, or you're trying to deter coyotes, raccoons, any nuisance animal from your yard, look at Bonide's Repels All. It does exactly what the name says. It repels all pesky animals. The unpleasant odor to animals doesn't bother humans, which is a nice thing, because when these first deterrent products came out, man, you'd have to wear a bio suit to go apply this stuff because you just reek from it. You won't get that with Bonide's Repels All. They're so confident, they guarantee your satisfaction. And you can even, if you've got fences that animals are chewing up, you can put it right on the fence, around trees, shrubs, perennials, even edible crops. It's available in a concentrate ready to use, or a spray liquid formula, or 3 or 6 pound shakers. It's available all over the state, including Mesquite Valley growers in Tucson, Treeland in Mesa, or Violas in Flagstaff, online at bonide.com. Good old-fashioned Dixieland Americana. We have a lot more from the National Hardware Show. We've got statistics coming in from the giant pumpkin contest. The weigh-ins are being done right now. There's 6 pumpkins. I've got updates on 4 of them happening at Harper's Nursery. But we're here for you, the Arizona homeowner. So let's get to our calls for our online at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. I believe Caroline is first on the line. Do we have Caroline with us this morning?
Hey, Caroline, you there with us? How about we go to Gary, Romy? Give Caroline a chance to get to her phone. Yeah.
Hello?
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Yes, is this Gary?
Yes, this is Gary. Hi. Hey, the question I have, we just moved into a slump block house in Green Valley. The house was built in 1994. And the first question I have is, you know, within the year they had new air conditioning and a heating system put in with a SEER, I think, of 14. But it also has an evaporative cooler on the roof. And the question is, should we be using the evaporative cooler or just, you know, because the other one is so efficient, just use the air conditioning unit?
In 94, it still made a lot of sense to run a dual system. And evaporative cooler is, for anyone who's new to Arizona or not familiar, a big metal box you stick on top of your roof that has water running through these really thick pads. And there's a squirrel cage fan inside, and it pulls air through this water. And through that evaporation of pulling the water and blowing it into your home, it would cool the home. And it was a very effective way, affordable way to do it, because all you're running is a squirrel cage from the evap cooler instead of the compressor that you need to run an air conditioning unit. By today's standards, and it's been this way for about the last 5 years, I don't know that there's an air conditioning contractor out there that wouldn't tell you it's more efficient to just run the air conditioning unit full time if it's a new unit. Now, you said within a year that you moved in, you replaced it to a 14 SEER. That's what you currently have, and how old is that unit?
It's less than a year old, and it was replaced by the other owners. Yeah.
Yeah, if you've got a one-year-old 14 SEER air conditioning unit, I'm going to tell you it's not going to make sense unless you just like to run a vap cooler, and a lot of people do. That's why it's still out there. It adds a little moisture to the air. Because it's so cheap, you can open your doors and just let, you know, you've always got to have one door or window in the home cracked to let the pressure go out, because it's constantly blowing air into the home. So you've got to crack a window somewhere or install what they call an up duct to allow that air to exhaust. Green Valley, you've got a little bit higher of an elevation than most of the desert inhabitants. You have great views. You know, if you want to keep it and leave the doors open for a couple months and just run that evap cooler for your morning or afternoon, you can. Just know that it doesn't make sense to, at 10 o'clock, then close up the home and turn your air conditioning on. Air conditioning works by removing by removing moisture. A evap cooler works by introducing it. So you're asking your air conditioner to work extra hard. You run your evap cooler until it gets too humid when the monsoon kicks in, or you just lock up your home, close up all the doors and windows, turn your air conditioning on, and leave it at that. That's a personal preference, but if you're looking at strictly efficient money saving, by today's standard, with new equipment installed right, with proper ductwork, a vap cooler is the route you want to go. Let's see, from anything else, Gary, we just give us a call, 1-888-767-4341. I believe Carolyn is back on the line and ready to go. Let's see what we can do to help her.
Rosie? Can you hear
me? Yes, ma'am.
Oh, great.
You sure can.
Did Jenny or someone tell you about my problem with my hot water line going across
the roof?
Tell
me about it.
Okay.
You have a hot water line going across the roof.
Yes, it's a foam roof. Benjamin Franklin put it in May 2014 because we had a slab leak. And they ran a line from the hot water heater in the garage up through the roof, and about, he wrote down about 50 to 60 feet of one half, I can't tell if it's PEX line, P-E-X, or R-E-X line. From the water heater to the kitchen.
It'll be PEX, and hang tight. We're running a little tight on time, and we'll try and get to the bottom of this question here in just a moment and see how we can help Carolyn out, along with you, the Arizona homeowner. It's 1-888-767-4348.
Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's rosieonthehouse.com.
We'll be right back. on a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. We invite you to join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. I'm broadcasting live from the Prescott Rodeo Grounds for the season-ending Junior Rodeo, or the Queen Creek Junior Rodeo Association. We've got three contestants in this weekend, and we'll have four starting next year, as Landry will be old enough for the peewees. So through modern technology, I'm able to broadcast here from a remote Comrex unit. Jennifer's in studio with Mike behind the board, and Jennifer Jengura call screening. So we're available for you, the Arizona homeowner, 1-888-767-4348. As we get to our next call, we have a texter that wanted to know, is there a universal fertilizer for trees? Doesn't matter if it's a fruit tree or a shade tree. And, you know, a lot of those start and grows will work just fine for both application. There are certain trees, such as pecan trees, that require a lot of zinc. So you want to make sure you get one that has a high zinc concentrate, but that's not going to hurt a shade tree if that's all you have and you want to dump it on there. Fertilizers are pretty close to the same. There are just a few variations here and there. And you could argue the benefit, I would say, unless you're really diligent, and this is your source of income, that you're not going to be hugely critical and obsessing over which fertilizer you use from one tree to the next. With that, let's get to our next call. And as we do, there was someone said a little bit of confusion. They didn't understand, do I like evap cooling or air conditioning? If it's installed correctly and the ductwork is sized properly, you will be just fine with air conditioning over evap cooling. Let's get to our next call, and I'll let the studio bring it in because I don't have the list currently in front of me. Whoever's on the line, Jennifer, take us to.
Okay, we've got William. Mr. William.
Good morning, William. Okay.
Okay,
well,
how about John?
While
let's
we
go
figure
to John.
Out the Wait. Call lineup, let's...
We do have John Rome. He's been waiting a while. Let's do him. He has a question about super cooling. Hey, John, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Great. Great. Why don't you tell Rome your full question there?
Okay. I've listened to your program for a several number of years, and I've heard you talk about super cooling, and I'm just trying it for myself this summer. And I went online on the Roseon House page, and I read what I could find on there, but I don't know if I'm doing it right.
Okay, what you doing so
okay,
far?
Okay, how so?
Well, I said it, I'm on the APS combined plant, so I have peak and off-peak, and I set it to like 72 degrees off-peak, and then 82 degrees when it's on-peak. And
okay.
I was always told that if you set the thermostat, let's say at 78 degrees, you're better off leaving it there because of the cooling of the coil. It costs more to lower the temperature than it does to just maintain it at a solid temperature. I haven't seen my bill yet, so I don't know.
Well, you'll know when you see that bill and compare it to last year. The whole concept of super cooling is that you're cooling your home when air conditioning is off-peak and costs, or when electricity is off-peak and costs a lot less to operate. And what you do is you get that home as cool as you can get it. Rosie even turns his down to 68 degrees. And so you've stored up this very cool interior of a home. Then when the on-peak hits about noon and that APS combined advantage rate, and your thermostat then says, okay, don't kick on until the home is 76 or 78 or 82 degrees. Well, a well-built insulated home, it's going to take hours for the inside of that home, even in the summer, to come up to 80 degrees if there's nobody in it. I mean, if you've got a bunch of people living in the home and pets and the doors are constantly in and out and kids are coming in and swimming and the doors are open, a little bit different of a story here. But in concept, you just cool the home, you store that cooling, and then the air conditioning comes on, and during off-peak at the hottest times of the day, it's only trying to maintain whatever that high temperature set is, whether it's 78, 80, 82. Then as soon as it goes to off peak and your programmable thermostat brings it down to 68, well, it's going to run for a couple hours after 7 o'clock to get you back down to that temperature. So it's much more efficient to run the air conditioning unit longer than for it to come on and short cycle on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off. And that's what you're doing with your super cooling. So that's the concept. It saves people money. They can't, you know, it's very hard to program that and to think that way, because all we've ever been taught and told and, you know, is bring it up a couple degrees, live with a hotter home, buy more insulation, buy more this, buy more that. And really, all you need to do is just use your rate that you're getting from your utility company in a smarter method. And we actually have, I don't know the date in front of me, but I know we have Steve Kep of Advanced Home Systems, the kind of the father mastermind behind the whole supercooling concept, that that'll be joining us in studio here in a couple weeks. So it was William, right? Call us back when you get that next bill and let us know.
Romy, just one thing too. It's important that people are on the noon to seven plan, which I'm not sure the exact name of that plan, but noon to seven is where it works most efficiently.
Because that's the shortest amount of time that you're on peak. That's 7 hours on peak, and the rest of it, the 24 minus seven, the rest of your day on the 18 hours is off peak.
You know, and Romy, we get testimonials probably daily about people who they didn't believe it, and then they tried it and they couldn't believe their bills. And it's depending on how much you're willing to hunker down in that hot on peak time, depends on how much you're going to save. You know, you can actually turn it completely off during that time, which we do, and just keep the house closed. And then, but then you can, you know, if you're not willing to sacrifice that, maybe put it at 80, then you're going to save a little less. Also, ovens, you don't want to turn your oven on until 7. So you do different kinds of cooking, your stovetop or your crock pot or barbecue, but you don't want to kick on anything that draws a lot of power during that time.
Mm-hmm. And I know it's hard for people to think, well, if I'm not home and I'm leaving for work at 7 o'clock in the morning, and it's only wasting air conditioning if I leave it on, so I'll turn it up here. No, you're not. Let the home maintain that coolness that you got it down to in the middle of the night as long as you possibly can, because then there'll be less work for the unit and the home later. It works, but
that's the perfect scenario
we'll
if you're gone all day.
Move on from that, because okay. We can spend hours talking about it.
And we do have Steve coming in June, so
we'll
save
that for perfect. And who's next on the line?
Let's take Mike. He has an old house with rumbly pipes. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. If we could just get this figured out.
All right, let's do it. What you got?
So house was built in 54. And about a month ago, and we've had plumbers out here 3 times. Mm-hmm. And sprinkler repair people just trying to figure this out. But sometimes when the water runs, either the washer, fill in the toilet, fill in the sink, fill in the bathtub, just get this rumble through the house. And it's really quite irritating. I just don't know.
And how long?
Come again?
How long has it been doing this?
And why it's doing it. Like,
Mike, how long has this been happening?
About a month now.
Oh, just a month.
Yeah.
And has anything changed?
No. Just age, I suppose. But like, we haven't changed the sprinklers. We haven't, changed the water heater 2 weeks ago now, I guess. But it was, we thought it could have been possibly stemming from that, but it wasn't. And is this, I can't
and
duplicate
it
on demand. It's just random. And like this morning, it was going off for 20 minutes. Mm. Stopped the washer, it stopped. Got the washer going right now, and it's not happening. So I don't understand.
So for this to randomly start happening, and it's not when any water's running or not running. It's just randomly.
Well, it's when the water is running, but at random times.
Not every time.
Exactly.
Sometimes it rumbles. So
you flush the toilet, it'll happen until the toilet's done filling.
Well, I don't know if this is going to solve your problem, because this isn't exactly an air hammer. But it definitely sounds like, and how old's the home again?
Built in 54.
And nothing from that, it's all the original piping from 54? It's never been repiped?
Yeah, I don't believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the chances are, it's... The chances are it's galvanized piping, and it's rusting out, and you're getting joints that are loosening up, and it's just not the solid piece of iron it originally metal when it was originally threaded, when that was the way we did plumbing pipes. I would get a plumber out and have them look at it. I don't know that there's anything we can do. In many cases, you just have to live with it until you can afford to replumb the house, because even if there was a leak that developed, 90% of plumbers won't even touch an old galvanized pipe because it's so weak that in trying to fix it, you manifest problems farther down the line from where it's been rusted out. So I don't know that you're even going to get anybody that's going to want to touch it to do any kind of repair work on that kind of home. So I would go to rosieonthehouse.com, put in your zip code, select plumbing, and then you'll get a list of plumbers. Look through, see who in your area does whole house repipes. Some of our plumbers are service only. Some of them are do repipe and groundwork. Get them out. Get an estimate or two so you know what you need to save for. We're just getting close to the end of the lifeline of those pipes, and I think that's all you're really looking at, as unfortunate as that is, because it will be a hefty cost to do that replacement. But you look at it the other way, a home from the 50s, you know, that's 60 plus years old. You got your economic life out of the water supply lines. So that's one way to look at it half full. It's Rosie on the House with you every Saturday morning at 1-888-767-4348. We'll come back to the calls along with some more updates from the National Hardware Show. For everyone just on the edge of their seat waiting to find out the results from today's giant pumpkin contest, well, they are in.
Tell us.
From what I can decipher, pumpkin number 7 weighed in at 479 pounds.
I'm assuming it's not perfectly round.
No. No, it might be a little flat on one side.
I think so.
And we have a new state squash record at 313.5 pounds.
What kind of squash is that? Any idea?
A big one.
Thank you.
They call them quads, I think. But we'll have Jay Harper in next week to share with us more details. And we may even get Mr. Dean Baker, the director of the giant pumpkin weighing contest, in and to give us the update and who the entries were and the size of the pumpkins and how they grew them and a little more details. Just a fun annual event that happens here in the great state of Arizona. Let's get to Julia's top three list for the National Hardware Shows before we wrap up this hour. John, hang tight on your water softener. We will get you this break.
Sure, Romy. You know, it was really fun being there with you and Julia. We'd split up for the day and come back and toss all of our favorite things out on the counter. And it was just amazing that we found such different things, things I wouldn't even notice. Julia would say, this is, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread. It was just really curious. But one thing we all three...
And it's so funny when I would say, hey, did you see this? And she's like, oh, yeah, it was right by this. Didn't you see that? I'm like, no.
No.
And I thought I hit every single booth.
I did,
in
too.
The inventor's room twice.
I know.
And there was still stuff. She's like, did you see this? I'm like, nope. And it's funny, just... There's so much there. It doesn't matter how slow and you go, you just end up missing something.
You just go on overload. One thing we all three agreed on, though, was the Orion coolers. They were just amazing. So I'll give you the three top that she had besides that one, because they were different than yours and mine. There was this Magna Grip. You can find it at magnogrip.com. There's let's say you have a project and you need lots of nuts and bolts and screws. And where do you put those nuts and bolts and screws? Well, you have a cup or you have a container, or you lay them on the counter and they roll off. This is a series of different things you can buy. One's a rip, and they're all magnetized. It's a wristband or a pair of gloves or a little thing you put on your belt, and you just put your little nuts and bolts right on that magnet. So they're right there handy when you're ready to use them. So that was pretty slick. Okay, Julia's a big DIYer, so that appealed to her.
Magna Grip.
The next thing was just a great, this would be great for Father's Day, hint, hint, everybody. It's called alligator board. So it's metal pegboard, which you think, well, pegboard is not a big deal. It's a nice system, though, and there's all kinds of different applications for it. But the coolest thing is they've developed a cart. So picture it like a tent sign with alligator board, or like pegboard, a metal, nice pegboard. And you put, it's for doing a particular project. Let's say you're working on your car, so you load up all the stuff that you need, you know, any kind of chemicals or wash and any kind of tools you need, and then you just load them all onto your pegboard, roll it out right next to your car, and you have all your tools just organized right there by the job. So that'd be great for any DIYer. And then let's see, the last thing that she really liked, oh, this was really cool. It's called, you find this at unchartedwatercraft.com. We're going to build a little resource list and put it on our website this week. But it's a kayak, okay? And so if you love being out on the water and you're not able right now to invest in a trailer and all the things you need to get out on the water with a boat, this is a kayak that folds in half. It looks like a little pod, and you slip it into the back of your little SUV. So you don't have to have anything to haul it around, a hitch, a trailer, any of that. And you get there and you unfold it. And it's a little kayak you paddle around on and enjoy your day off on. So you can see the kind of things that we get to see there. Not all just work, but there's a lot of play involved, too, at the hardware show.
So very good. Well, we'll have more from that as the weeks go on until we've covered all that we've brought back that we think would be useful to you, the Arizona homeowner. As we get to John, who's calling about a water softener, let me just highlight Lightning Busters. Bob Ross is back after 5 years of retirement due to demand and the fact no one else was doing lightning protection correctly in the state of Arizona. He has come out of retirement, and he'll be joining us on air in a couple weeks just to make sure Arizona homeowners are educated about the amount of lightning strikes in Arizona and how they can easily protect their home with one investment of air terminals installed on the home that'll last a lifetime. So welcome back, Bob Ross. You can find them in the lightning and surge protection category. John, real quick, your question, sir?
Okay, we had a water softener put in about probably 2.5 years ago, and my wife understood when they put it in to say that the water softener would eliminate the calcium buildup in the pipes in the house, and that we wouldn't have to change out the rod and the water heater. I can't remember what the name of the rod is, but that and the heating elements that wouldn't corrode up. My wife said no. She says she didn't understand it that way. So I just figured I'd get an opinion from you as to what I need to do to maintain this thing and if we're going to be able to do away with some of this calcium buildup.
How long was the home there before a water softener was installed?
It was built in 1978, copper piping. And so it's I've got pictures of it being built. We've owned it since then.
Yeah. Bill, I'm sorry, John, it takes a really long time for a water softener to remove what's already in the home. If you replace the water heater, it will keep it from building up. But it's going to take almost just as long with a water softener as it did without one to remove the buildup inside. So it won't eliminate what's already in the home in a fast pace. It'll just prevent the introduction, and your in-water will be better.